from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, hanging out on 96.5 The Fan. Let's go out to Arrowhead, though. First time this year, it's a game week, and that means it's time to hear from Andy Reid. We're also expected to hear from some players, but let's hear the latest from Andy heading in to their matchup against the Ravens.
Other than that, everybody practiced today. So, look forward to the challenge of playing the Ravens, good football team. We know that. Had a good week of practice. Guys are ready to go. So, with that, time's yours.
Andy, do you historically think you have a feel for what the team's going to be like in the opener, just if it'll play well? And do you have a feel for this?
I go in saying we're going to play well. That's how I go into every game, but no different here.
And is it more so, it's probably obvious, but the opener, is it the most, for lack of a better term, mysterious, where you just, so many unknowns and you go from there?
Yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, what we've got. I mean, that's always, I think that's probably with every player, every coach, every fan, every media person, curious to see what you have and how you handle everything. So, but that's the best part about it. We'll see how it goes.
Can you share a little bit of just the conversation with Clyde about the decision to put him on NFI and where he's at right now?
Yeah, well, you know, Clyde talked to y'all, so you understand. I'm gonna keep what we talked about private, but we're looking out for, you know, obviously what's best for him, and that's right now that's the most important thing.
We talked to Coach Tobe a little bit yesterday about, you know, it's still this kickoff rule, and maybe you got to see some things in preseason, but you don't really know until you get this game. Just what are you expecting teams to try to do in this? And is it fun to be the first ones out there to kind of do it for everybody?
Yeah, we'll see what goes. I'm not sure what to anticipate or expect. So, but we'll see how it all works out. You got two good special teams going against each other. Plus, John's got a ton of experience there. So, we'll just see how it rolls. Brandon.
Oh, you remember my name.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great memory. Coach, let's get to it. I'm in town covering this game. Football season's here. Where do I get some good food? I have a couple of days. Where should I go eat?
Listen, if I say one, then the others will kick me out. There, you can't pick a bad spot, but after this, I'll give you one.
I didn't know you were a politician.
Yeah. All right, when it comes to food, I am.
All right, real question. Coach, legendary career, legendary run here in KC. How do you feel? How many more years do you have?
Yeah, I signed a 5-year deal, so I'm. We'll see how all that goes. I'm getting older, though, Brandon. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, good.
All right, that was Andy Reid speaking to the media. The big thing at the very beginning, it was partially cut off there, but he did confirm every player other than Hollywood Brown is expected to be available.
That's great
for
news.
The opener. Last year, we all know.
And Clyde. No, but
sure, you know. But that he's on the NFI list, so that was already known. But yes, you're correct. But last year, we know Travis Kelce and Chris Jones did not play in the week one game. So it was actually on a Tuesday at a practice a year ago where the bone bruise happened.
Why would you even bring that back up?
Because practice is already over.
Yeah, that's true.
I can say that because practice is already over.
It's true.
I know that's not happening this year.
It's not going to happen on a Tuesday.
Because practice is over.
Can't make any promises about Wednesdays, although they don't typically practice.
I don't think they practice tomorrow. It's the day before game.
That's true. They don't usually.
So I think we're in the clear, Cody.
For now.
Well, for this week.
Yeah, at least for now.
For this week.
Well, look, last year, it's so funny that week one, what do you think? Chris Jones and Travis Kelce, those important players for the Chiefs? Yeah. two of their most five important players, I think, last season or in any given year over the last 5 years. Those are two of their most five important players on the field at any one time. They didn't have for week one. Hollywood was expected to be a big part of this offense, so not having him is still a loss. But it's not the same as having Chris Jones and Travis Kelce gone. And if everyone else is going to be available, that's what matters the most. You know, whatever those nagging injuries maybe Chris Jones had during training camp or Jalen Watson missed time with, or Nazee Johnson or all these other guys who missed some time that you could be counting on, at least now you don't have to worry about that. I think it's a big deal, Gold.
While we're waiting to hear from some Chiefs players, did you hear what Roquan Smith had to say out in Baltimore? Now, I don't know if this was just, he's given like the cliche, like how he would answer any question about any upcoming team or opponent. But Roquan Smith, talented player for the Baltimore Ravens, said this on stopping the Chiefs offense Thursday.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, just eliminating the run, making the guys one-dimensional just like any other game. And once you make a team one-dimensional and knowing exactly what they'll do and given situation, it gives us a chance as a defense to really pin our ears back and do exactly what we would like to do.
I saw Mitchell Schwartz was tweeting about this too. He's like, is he just like, is this is basically the answer he always gives, or like, is he serious?
Or does he actually mean let's make them one dimensional by just making Patrick Mahomes throw the ball?
Like, was that just
historically a horrid decision?
That's what I'm saying. Like, was he just joking? Like, not joking, but was he just like, all right, you asked me about how do we stop their team? Well, I just say the same answer. We just make them one dimensional.
Like, by trying to not give them bulletin board material and say nothing of substance, maybe he did the opposite. The opposite? Do you see Scott Caxmore over the weekend seemed to be making it a point to bury all the terrible rhetoric that surrounds great players sometimes when they just like say things without thinking it through. So someone, for instance, was like, yeah, let's see what happens when you make Mahomes pass. Somebody had said that to Scott over the weekend. And then he pointed out the stats of the last 5 years of efficiency in expected passing downs. And let's just say it's a little bar graph, right? Top to bottom. Here's Mahomes. Here's the bottom. He is triple ahead of the next closest player over the last 5 years of expected efficiency in passing situations. And so I think he just didn't think about his answer. He's just trying to give some static answer without thinking about it. And unfortunately for Roquan Smith, it comes off different.
I think he gets asked that, you know, 17, all 17 games, like, hey, how do you slow down?
Make them one dimensional.
You know, just make them one dimensional, and you know, well, you know, and it just sounds weirder when you're talking about we're going to make them have to have Patrick Mahomes win a game for him.
Oh, okay. Heaven forbid.
Darn.
You
sure?
That's going to be, you know, I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. I don't know if they can win a game when Patrick Mahomes has to win them a game. I just don't know, you know?
Now that Clyde is on the NFI list, I think you and I said earlier what I do still firmly believe. They have at least, even though they lose Clyde for the first four games, and we don't know what his availability is going to look like a huge chunk of this season, because Samaje Perine, in my opinion, kind of fell in their lap, and maybe they were smart enough to know he was going to end up on the waiver block and they didn't have to go through the process, they've lined up their running back group nearly perfectly. Isaiah Pacheco is the lead. Carson Steele comes in as the spell back for a drive. And then every single time it's third down, you need a pass block or maybe a pass out of the backfield. Welcome to the game, Samaje Perine. That's your job and your job alone. Very similar to the Jerick McKinnon role from just a few years ago. And honestly, what they missed the Jerick McKinnon role the most in was the red zone. They need a guy who has a nose for the red zone in the passing game out of the backfield, something that they didn't have a good sense of last year, maybe because they weren't scoring well at all, but because they seem to have missed that from the healthy Jerick McKinnon days where he could be in the middle, be on the outside, and find a way to get a score for you.
I wanted them to have a veteran running back other than Clyde just because, unfortunately, of the availability issue. And now that they put Clyde on the NFI list, okay, then they needed someone like Samaje Perine. He provides another veteran in the room to go with Isaiah Pacheco. And, yeah, he's the Jerick McKinnon type. And last year in Denver, on a bad offense, he had the fourth most receiving yards of all running backs in football. And, that's something he's done throughout his entire career. So I think he helps him there. You're right about also just Carson Steele. We know he's somebody that likely will help them in short yardage situations. It's not like he's getting nine carries, but are they three or four or something like that effective carries? I think there's confidence there. And then you know what you're getting from Pacheco. He slimmed down a little bit. He tried to work on his receiving with a wide receiver coach this offseason. Yeah. We know that. They're going to line him up in the slot at times. Like, I could see a scenario where somehow they move Pacheco into the slot and Carson Steele's still in the backfield, right? Like, I wouldn't surprise me if you see a formation like that at some point in time where Steele's the bat in the backfield and they're both in the backfield to start the play, and then they motion out Pacheco to the slot.
Looking back to what Andy Reid said, somebody pointed out, and I hadn't thought about it, did we know the length of Andy Reid's extension? I think we did, right?
5 years.
We knew it was five. Do we know it was 5 years before?
I thought
before?
We did at the time. I think so. Remember, dollar amount never comes out, but I think the length we knew.
Okay.
I think that was known, yeah.
I was just trying to remember. They never say the dollar amount. Yeah, it looks like here's an article back in April that said contract.
I think we knew the length. It was just
was it 5 years?
The dollar amount's always been something people have speculated about, basing it off of what Belichick was making, and then like, oh well, he must be making more than that now.
I typically do care about contracts as they relate to the teams, but if it is a non-cap position, I don't care. I don't care what Brant Tillis was making. I don't care what Brett Veach makes now. I don't care what the seventh scout makes. If you don't count towards the salary cap, I just hope the Chiefs are paying you the maximum amount you were able to get. I don't. Outside of that,
that's whatever your owner's willing to pay, and you're good.
Yeah, whatever they whatever you think your worth is, I hope that's what you're making. I don't care if Andy Reid's making $40 million a year.
No, he's worth every penny, no matter what he's making. I don't care what the number is, like you said.
The same thing applies to, and we'll talk about these things more on Thursday and all these things as we get closer to this game, but the same thing applies to Patrick as applies to Andy, which is Andy gets, if he wins the Super Bowl this year, he gets to enter the conversation with Bill Belichick of greatest coach of all time. Because coaching is a little bit different because you know you have to have the quarterback. Andy's winning record outside of quarterbacks. Bill Belichick's never had a winning record with a quarterback that wasn't Tom Brady. Andy Reid has made, I don't know, at this point, 10 maybe conference title games or somewhere in that range. He's been to 6 Super Bowls as a head coach. He goes out and completes the three-peat. He's going to get to start being a part of that conversation versus the way it is now, which is Belichick's the best coach ever. Brady's the best quarterback ever, and we need some more rings for somebody to actually enter that conversation.
Yeah, but I think the door's cracked open. I think I think one foot's already in the doorway for Andy Reid in that conversation, if not more, because also now that Belichick's not coaching this year, is he ever going to coach again? I actually don't believe he will. Others do. We'll all find out together in the offseason, and there'll be plenty of rumors that he's going to go take X job or whatever. Remember, this year there wasn't a plethora of jobs for him to take. You just assume that there was going to be every team wanting his services, and we all have learned that that was not the case. We were all kind of wrong on that. So it's not a sure thing. I don't think he does coach again. And for Andy, the three-peat, just like for Mahomes, is something that hasn't been done before. That would give you a leg up. And if Andy does coach for 5-plus years, the win totals and the playoff wins and all that and the rings, of course, those are going to be real conversations to be had, and he can position himself to be the greatest of all time. And We one point, I think, during the Super Bowl week when we were out in Vegas this year, we were talking about this very conversation, but just that if you look at the end of Andy's career and how it's going to finish, the narrative and how fans will perceive him much differently than how fans now maybe perceive Belichick. One, you had Brady leave Belichick and go win a ring on his own, so that hurt his argument. Yeah. But for Andy, you look at, you said it, he won with a bunch of other quarterbacks
anybody,
as well.
Vic, Cole, they all have the best years of their career.
Call it the final, if we think he only coaches another 5. So the final, what would be with Mahomes, the final 13 years of his career with Mahomes, he's going to have at minimum 3 rings. Maybe he gets to 5. I don't know. Like that's how his career is going to end. His career is going to end with him winning rings with Mahomes, at the oldest, probably like 34 or something, like, at the peak, versus we all know how it ended for Belichick with Mac Jones and Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappi.
I was going to say, are we sure that for the legacy standpoint of it, Bill wants to coach again or should be coaching again? Because if he goes somewhere else and it doesn't work out, then you could say, well, Andy, it worked in Philly. Yeah. It certainly worked in Kansas City. If Bill goes anywhere else to that point, go out of Mac Jones and all that stuff, if he goes to the Cowboys and they don't do anything, then
it's going to hurt him.
How much more does it hurt him?
They, It can still hurt him, because right now it's just a couple of years. You could just chalk it up to Mac Jones stinks, right? That's why his career ended bad. Mac Jones is bad, which is fair. And I don't think that that's an unfair way to categorize it. But this is not even like hyperbole. Statistically, every starting quarterback who's played under Andy Reid had their best career season under Andy Reid. Michael Vick had his best statistical season under Andy from a passing perspective. So did Cobb. So did Donovan McNabb. So did Alex Smith. So did every single quarterback he's ever coached had the best statistical season of their life under him. And the fact that he took Alex Smith, like on the press, he didn't get him to an AFC title game. They came up a game short under Alex Smith. But he took so many different NFC quarterbacks. McNabb, and the guy he lost to in the AFC was Tom Brady. Guy you're not supposed to get past with Alex Smith. And they were still right there on the edge, same as always, is at least giving themselves a chance to do it. Andy definitely deserves to be in the conversation. By the end of this thing, I think Patrick Mahomes will be too. You and I have just said it takes a certain number of Super Bowls in order to get there. While we wait for the Chiefs, and we'll get back to them in a little bit, if some of the players come up to the podium, you'd asked me a question earlier, so we'll open it up to you. 913-586-7965. We can take your calls on this. 913-586-7965 is the phone line. You asked me very simple. Let's do a check. Check your confidence. Do the Royals make the playoffs? Do they win the division? What are your answers right now? I'll tell you off the cuff. No, I don't think they win the division. It is going to be hard to convince me of that unless they spend the next two games beating the Guardians and continue winning after that. But of course, I still think they're making the playoffs. They're 4.5 games up with 23 games left on their schedule. It would have to continue to absolutely derail in order for them to miss. And it's derailed pretty bad. And they're still 4.5 games up. I don't think they're losing their next six games in a row. I think they're probably hitting 500 in their next six games, or anything in between will make it hard for these teams to catch them with the amount of time remaining in the schedule.
So I think when we talk about the division, let's also remember even last week when they got into first place, I would have said it would be very difficult for them to win the division then. Like we kind of did, like we were saying at that point before all the injuries that, hey, making the playoffs, when they were in first place, I think we still all acknowledged that it was going to come down to the final few games no matter what. That was pre-injuries. Now, of course, I mean, like the division, to me, it's a requirement to win tonight. To even continue having it, we're back to where I was a couple months ago. To have the division conversation, to me, they have to win tonight. Because if they fall 5.5 back with only one left against the Guardians and 20, what would it be, Cody? 21 games left or something like that after tonight. Then I think we're done with the division conversation. But they win tonight and stabilize things and the offense shows some life.
And everyone can take a deep breath.
Then I think we keep the division conversation going. If they lose tonight, then I don't believe that is something that will continue. But the playoffs, yeah, there's only so many games left unless you think they're going to double this losing streak. And the Red Sox are going to win. And by the way, that's why I think they have to snap this, because the Red Sox do get the White Sox after the next 2 days against the Mets. The Red Sox get the White Sox. They're probably winning out of their next five games. They're probably winning at least three of them, because three are against the White Sox. Okay. So they're probably
winning.
That's what I'm saying. Like bare minimum, they're winning three.
Maybe four or five.
They could win four or five. So the Royals have to snap out of this thing, even for the playoff picture. But Fangraph says it's still a 79% chance the Royals make the postseason. I think that's probably about right. I do believe that that's the case. The division, though, tonight, they could lose a division race, in my opinion, if they don't win tonight.
But the same thing applies on the other side. If you just hold water, don't let Boston get any more than 3.5 games in the division, well, then by the time you're done with your difficult stretch and are getting more common teams, they have, the Red Sox, that is, the current team behind you, 3 against the Orioles and 4 against the Yankees. So you just got to make sure that distance stays where it is.
913-586-7965 here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's go out to Brian in Lenexa. You're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
I'm going to the game tonight. Hopefully see you.
There you go.
Guys there.
Nice.
But a quick question. Do you feel like the Royals have a legitimate opportunity in the postseason? And second question is, do you think Vinny will make it back to help him out with that?
Thanks for the call, Brian. First question from Brian there. Can they do anything in the postseason? I'll still maintain, if this team ends up making the postseason, that means they solidified Obviously, this current losing streak got out of it. It means that they stabilized things. It means that the starting pitching was still pitching at the level that it has. And so if that is happening with starting pitching, then yeah, could they win a three-game series with this starting pitching staff? I still maintain that is absolutely in play. Do I think they're going on a run through the ALCS? I mean, I would have said it was a slim chance a week ago. It's obviously a very slim chance that happens now in a seven-game series or something. In terms of Vinny coming back, we know he and the team have said 6 to 8. He says he thinks it's a better timeline. I love the optimism there. I think he has to be optimistic, and who am I to doubt his own rehab and recovery for that? I think it's like a 5 or 10% chance, if you're asking me that.
I think it's maybe 25%, but I still don't think it's
because it also requires them getting to the ALCS to even have the conversation. So you're basically putting a percentage on them getting to the ALCS, and then also a percentage on someone's health. And everybody heals differently. I know the broadcast last night was talking about, you know, Salvi had a thumb injury. How many years ago was that?
Four.
And he came back quicker. But everybody, I mean, that's Salvi. Who knows? I have, you know. Only Vinny knows along with the training staff how realistic that
you
is.
You won't really know until like he gets through surgery today. They actually repair it and you see what the damage looked like once they actually get him under the knife. And so he might have already had that surgery today. Originally it was scheduled for today. He said that was the plan as of yesterday or the day before. He said that was still the plan. So if it still went successfully, which we assume we'll get the Vinny in bed with a cast on it from the Royals account at some point. I think there's a slim chance, but a chance that Vinny comes back from the injury. Making a run in the playoffs, the thing that has helped them win still applies. To win in the playoffs, runs are harder to come by. Those big bopping offensive teams sometimes fall short as a result of it's hard to get runs. The better pitching teams tend to thrive in the postseason. The Royals still have a top 5 starting pitching staff in all of baseball. I still think they have the best one in the entire American League. So no, I will never rule out this team's playoff chances of making a run for the same reasons that I have all year. Their starting pitching is good enough to make a run. Do I actually think they'll do it? I don't know. Talk to me in 20 games when I get a sense of how they've handled the loss of Vinny after they've let the shock and awe part fade away.
Royals, Guardians, tonight, 6:40 first pitch, Ferns on Deck show at 5:30, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can listen to the Royals throughout the rest of this regular season and into the postseason, assuming they get there. And on Thursday night, listen to the Chiefs open up the season right here on 96.5 The Fan. Thinking of the Chiefs, we're expected to hear from a couple players still on the other side. We'll also get to what's trending right here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, Royals baseball tonight out at Kauffman Stadium. They continue this very important homestand in this series against the Guardians. And boy, oh boy, they are trying to stop this losing streak. They've lost 6 in a row. Brady Singer on the bump tonight. They've been getting good starting pitching. Can the offense come back to life? That's the question tonight. You can hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on Deck show, 5:30. 5:30, be listening to Vern's on Deck show, getting you set for the game.
Speaking of 96.5 The Fan, obviously you can catch the Chiefs game coming up this Thursday, pregame starting at 4 o'clock with the crew. But yeah, the Chiefs had their game week presser today. Andy Reid said Hollywood Brown will be the only player not active on game day for the Chiefs, so all those other injuries are not going to stop the players from being available. Chris Jones, anybody who's been dinged up during camp, they're healthy enough, good to go for the game on Thursday. We're going to hear from Travis Kelce coming up in just a few minutes, who just spoke to the media.
Next up on What's Trending, some other NFL news today. The 49ers finalizing a new rework deal with their star left tackle, future Hall of Famer Trent Williams, that according to NFL Network. They also did place rookie wide receiver Ricky Pearsall on the non-football injury list after a scary situation in San Francisco. He was shot in the chest in an apparent robbery attempt. The video of him just walking on his own, well, not on his own, but walking to an Crazy. Ambulance with some help of paramedics is wild. Fortunately, the bullet avoided any vital organs, and hopefully he's able to play football at some point this year. But not surprising, he is starting the season on the NFI list.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if I got shot in the chest a week ago, don't think I'd be playing football. Crazy. Lucky. Really lucky.
Oh,
and then it didn't hit anything major, and then he was able to be released from the hospital a day later. Good to see him at the facility for the 49ers this week. Next up on What's Trending, the AP Top 25 out officially today. You're going to be shocked to find out Florida State is no longer in it. After losing their first two games of the season, even though that one fan claimed he was going to eat a red Solo cup full of poop, he did not do that.
He deleted his Twitter account.
He then reactivated and said, I'm not going to eat it. Oh. Stop adding me.
Oh, his Twitter? Oh, everybody's going to do that. That account has to not exist. You're going to have to make have a different identity.
Yeah. Make a new account. Everybody's going to know that you did not live up to your word. But the AP Top 25 is out. Missouri number 9, Kansas State number 17, and Kansas number 19 in the most recent poll.
That is what's trending. Yeah, that Florida State fan. This is why you don't just throw out stuff, unless, especially on social media. People are going to make sure you pay off your bet. Thinking of that, I was making sure you were paying off your bet earlier today. If you missed it, we came to terms on a new agreement. Cody wanted to sing, and some wanted him to sing a Royals song due to the losing streak. Mm-hmm. He's banned until the 21st. That was a bet he lost. The terms are now he can sing it on Friday. Give the Royals a couple days to win some games, number one. Number two, he also has to tell us the 2+ year wait on what he got his wife for Mother's Day. Right?
Yeah.
And if the Royals win on Friday, isn't that what it is? If they don't win on Friday, then you pay $96.50 to the show fund. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the Royals just get on a little 3-game winning streak.
And then I don't have to worry about it.
As long as you're not betting with that guy, then I think everything's okay.
Yeah,
I didn't say I'd eat a cup of poop.
I should have actually. I should have made that a deal. I mean, initially I came in strong. I said you had to get the tattoo, not just to win the World Series, but they won the division.
I don't think they're going to win the division. That's just like too close. I mean, yeah, they're going to tattoo in 3 weeks.
That's why. But then also after Friday, the 21st ban still happens. It's still. So anyway, we sorted that out. While we were doing what's trending, Travis Kelce just wrapped up speaking to the media. As we alluded to, he enters week one healthy, something he was not a season ago.
I set up right now because I'm switching spots. You already know. I'll get it to you. We'll find another time. You already know.
Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to, Drew? What's this?
What's going on, guys?
Travis, going through another training camp and everything. I mean, last year, late in the year, we're asking you about potential retirement. Just wondered what you felt going through training camp and just your energy being back.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Get to play another year of football. Fresh slate. You know, get to kind of prove to ourselves and the Chiefs Kingdom that we're one of the top dogs. We can play at a high level, man. It's exciting.
Season, how do you feel?
Ready to rock. I've never been more excited, to be honest. I'm just we got a great team, a great group of guys that are putting all their heart into every single day, and that's fun to be a part of.
Travis, is there any way to compare what you feel like going into this opener to, let's say, your first one or two? I mean, is it a totally different feeling?
Completely different, yeah. You're just more comfortable, more aware of kind of the system, the routines, so you feel like you get – just that much more of a heads up, or you're kind of like more advanced in terms of understanding scheme and things like that, and just how you're supposed to attack your opponent.
How about just dealing with adrenaline and things like that? I mean, I assume you're much better equipped now.
I love it. I love it. I've always enjoyed playing in the biggest moments with the most on the line, and what better way to go start off the season than the Baltimore Ravens, man?
I've been here before, my days playing. You're in this inflection point where you can start to feel it, you can start seeing the end. Last year you got off to a slow start because you was dealing with some things. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between this time around and right around this time last year? How are you feeling mentally and physically?
You know, I feel just as good, if not more ready than I have been in years past, just because you get more comfortable with your body. You learn things from the mistakes you made in years past and things like that. And you just constantly keep getting better and keep getting more aware of, you know, where your body's at. So
around this time in my career, like, I picked up like dry needling, or I may have changed my nutrition up a little bit. Is there one thing in particular that you leaned into this offseason that's going to get you the next 2, 3, 4 years of playing ball?
You know, we'll see what challenges occur throughout the season. You know, I think I've caught a good routine and a good groove of, you know, making sure that I'm at peak athletic ability to go out there and perform every single week. And you just never know, you know, the nicks and the bumps and bruises that you get throughout the season. You might have to pick up something new along the way.
Yeah, Travis, is there something about this year's group of receivers that stands out that maybe sets it apart from last year or any other recent group?
I would say, you know, I've loved the receiver group that we've always had. Obviously, we got hit with kind of a stereotype that we couldn't catch the ball on big downs and things like that. But this year, I think in terms of confidence and where we're different from years past, it seems like the group is more tight-knit. You know, everybody's playing off of each other a little bit more. There's more of a discussion in the room. And I'm just excited that the type of athletes that we got that and the type of quarterback that we have, that we can put it all together.
Travis, in your experience, can a team reveal its personality in the opening game, or does it need – you know, few games for that to happen?
I think you go out and you had all offseason, all training camp to get ready for this moment right here. You know, obviously there's going to be mistakes or there's going to be things we can work on after this game, but I think we're as ready as we've ever been going into this first one.
Thanks, Pete. You talked about feeling physically great. I'm curious if the coaches have talked to you for week one, at least, in terms of managing your snaps.
No, and I probably wouldn't listen to them if they did.
Thinking back specifically to this game last year, you had to miss. Just as you think back to that and the fact that how grateful are you that you're actually available and you had a nice training camp and everything kind of went that way?
I'm forever fortunate to be able to play as many games as I've played already in this league. And, you know, that's why I really enjoy going out there every single day, even if it's just a practice, to really work on my craft, because I know not everybody gets that same, you know, fortune in their career. And you know, I'm ready to rock week one, and I'm thankful for it.
How
fun has this been with Pat, just because, you know, knowing we see videos and whatnot of your relationship off the field and getting to do this more with a friend than maybe even just a teammate?
Yeah. I mean, Pat is he's a brother, man. You know, I've learned to just enjoy the moments and the big time games and all that stuff, but it's the day-to-day stuff that makes it fun when you're in the building with Pat Mahomes. He shows up and he has a good time doing it week in, week out, day in, day out. And you know, that's the type of guy you want to come into work with. And outside of that, you know, it's just fun building those relationships throughout the building. Obviously, Pat is the one you guys see for the most part, but I mean, there's a bunch of guys and women in this building that I hold dear to my friendships. I hold dear and I treat them like family, and it's because of, you know, just the type of people that the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to bring in.
Go ahead, Bob.
Travis, how could you sum up, if you can, the changes in your life in the last year in terms of the attention on you and things of that nature? What is there a way you could just describe what that difference is?
Hopefully the best are yet to come, baby.
Tom, you told us many times you want to do it till the wheels fall off. And as Bobby just said, you've got a lot of things happening in your life, and you've got a podcast that's worth lots of money. You've got a lot of options out there. How do you focus on this, because you can keep all the rest of the stuff out of it? How do you go about doing that? Doesn't seem super
easy. I just love coming in here, man. It's kind of, I mentioned St. Joe is my sanctuary. I just love football and how it takes me away from life, and it gives me something I can feel genuinely happy about. I enjoy coming in the building, working on my craft, getting to understand a new game plan and perfecting that for the people around me. It gives me a purpose to kind of go about my day and to live my life, and I just I have so much excitement doing it. It's going to be hard trying to figure out when to call it quits or not.
Last two, Sam and eight, Sam.
Travis, maybe this is related to that, but some of the guys in there say that they get a lot of their energy from just what you bring every day in practice. Where do you get it from? And do you have days where maybe it's a little bit tougher for them?
Yeah, who doesn't, man? Everybody has those days. But what you got to understand is that, you know, the goal and the goal in mind of the team is bigger than you. And everybody needs you to be at your best. And my college coach, Butch Jones, always told me, either you're a fountain or drain, baby. You don't want to be draining anybody out here, man. Give people life.
Last one, Nate.
Travis, you've been here just as long as Andy. You've seen the game plans for all these opening games. Just what is the excitement when you see that first game plan for the season, and how much can you, because of your experience, sort of envision or start to visualize how things may play out on the game?
It's exciting. It's exciting. It's the first game of the season. Everybody wants to come out and show how explosive they are, show how great they or how much better they got from last year. And it's just a great opportunity to be going up against such a great team. Coach Harbaugh, everybody over there in Baltimore is just, top tier. And they got some of the best players in the league on both sides of the ball, and it's just going to be a great challenge for us. But I think everybody's just fired up to get out in front of Arrowhead and get this season started.
So that was Travis Kelce speaking to the media ahead of Thursday night's opener. At the end, though, he was talking about the Ravens. It reminded me of, he was talking about the great players and everything. The last time they played, remember, that was Justin Tucker decided to before warm-ups, before the game.
Getting in their way. And intentionally Kelce threw
Setting up a tee or whatever at the one-yard line to practice kicks. And then it was Travis that eventually threw the helmet or whatever aside, right?
Yeah.
To protect Mahomes. Or not protect, but to defend Mahomes.
Apparently he does this to all the teams. And clearly he's trying to do it as an intimidation
factor.
But what is
it Thursday night? What does he do? You know they got to laugh about it, right? Like, if they see Tucker, they got to at least joke about
You're
it.
Like, hey, man.
This guy. That's
they got to be joking. Like, guy. At that point, they got to just embrace and laugh it off,
yeah,
I would hope.
I would hope
everybody,
so.
Everybody
like,
involved.
Back your ass up.
Yeah.
Although the Ravens, it's going to be hard for them to be in a real jokey mood. Your season ended with the Chiefs standing on your field, putting it to you on their way to another Super Bowl title. If I were on that Ravens team last year, I would be out for blood.
Oh, they'll be amped up, too. I mean, the Chiefs are going to be amped because it's Arrowhead. The environment's going to be amazing. But the Ravens, because of what you just said, and if you're an opponent, I don't care whether you just lost to them in the AFC title game in your last game played or not. If you're in that building, it's the first game of the year, everybody's adrenaline is up. I can't imagine as a player, fans feel that way. Imagine if you're a player and it's week one and the excitement level. So that they'll be ready. Like, I don't think you're worried about the energy level for anybody. If anything, you're worried about everybody getting too amped and mistakes.
Mahomes does that in big games every once in a while. It's rare, but he definitely still does that. You hear Travis, though. Same thing. We know Travis financially could just quit football right now. He could have been quit for a while, but he definitely could quit now.
$100 million.
They just sold their podcast for $100 million. A lease. Man didn't even sell his podcast. He rented the damn thing for $100 million.
They basically sold
the next 3 years.
Sold the rights to let Amazon sell advertising for their podcast. That's basically what they did for $100 million.
So 3 years from now, there's another payday in it for the two of them, which is the whole other part of this. I get it. He could just walk away, commercials and TV, and he could go work for Amazon for Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity and a million other things. He genuinely loves football. And I know you'd be like, well, doesn't everybody who plays football? No, they don't. Most of them you think do, but to varying degrees, do they really appreciate their level of greatness? I honestly think you have to have a different level of ethic, work ethic, talent, all combined, right? Work ethic, talent, knowledge of the game, to be the level of player Travis Kelce ended up being his career, which is a first ballot, no doubt, Hall of Fame.
I think even going back to Brett Veach's answer for Kadarius Toney, you got to take care of your body to make sure that you're ready to go for every. And not to say that Kadarius Toney isn't or hasn't been, but based on Brett Veach's answer, it seems like
he hasn't been. What do you mean? Hasn't been? Definitely wasn't.
He isn't. He never fit the billing to really allow the Chiefs to get everything out of what he was able to do, or even Kadarius himself. He didn't maybe take it seriously enough, or whatever the case is, to be able to take his game where he needed it to be for the Chiefs to be as good of a wide receiver as he was picked to be originally.
The other thing Travis mentioned, he was asked about workload for this season, given his age and everything. And last year, he was willing to sit out week 18, but that was right before the playoffs, and that was turned out to be a great decision and an unselfish one. Because he was, 16 yards away from a 1,000-yard season and could have continued to continue that record. But he said, the coaches haven't talked to me and I probably wouldn't listen anyway. I don't think there's going to be some limitations on that. Certainly not early on in the season. Maybe as the season goes on and you're worried if he is banged up or something at that point. But I think going into the season, whatever you think the targets are going to be, it'll be the normal target share and all of that. And I still think his job, should be a little bit easier in terms of
everybody who runs underneath routes
getting beat up at the line of scrimmage as much as he was last year, because it was so easy to do that when you didn't have to worry about over the top. And if Worthy, no Hollywood Brown week one, but if Worthy and Brown eventually are able to be as effective over the top as we think they're going to be this season, then yeah, for Rice, for Juju, for Travis Kelce, some of those underneath routes should be there and should be a little more free, if you will.
I think it might be a later in the season thing, I'll admit, because I think it might be teams say, prove it. Prove to us that you are what you claim you are. They don't just like, well, you have these players, so let's just believe you. No team's going to go into a system believing that. They're going to have to like actually prove that that's where they are. But yeah, I mean, assuming that that's the case, then Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Pacheco, Samaje, everyone's job who is somewhere inside the 10-yard line didn't just get easier. It got way easier. Also, Travis at no point has never been like, take care of me, snap count guy. Even when he came back from the knee, remember, he was pretty much just right back to where he normally plays. I don't think he was 100% for half of the season last year. That final week of the season, I do think had a massive difference in his comfort level going into the postseason and what he was able to do. Once the postseason hit, how'd they use him, Gold? Exactly the same way they used him during the regular season? Maximum percent? Like, all right, we're going to throw you the ball 9 times, Travis. Thanks. They just might need to... The spread it around thing might actually be true this year. We've tried it for a couple of years. It might actually be true this time.
So it says, guys, Jared Wiley's going to have a huge year. Mahomes' new toy, over 750 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns.
What?
Wow.
I'm not...
That's as many yards as Xavier Worthy was...
Yeah, look.
His over-under was.
I like the pick. I think there's reason long-term to be excited. But there's no way those are the numbers unless you think Travis Kelce is getting hurt. And even then, Noah Gray's going to be closer to that. I think Wiley can help him in the red zone. I don't know if they were intentionally doing this during preseason, but he didn't have the preseason that I thought he was going to have.
Not quite.
Based off of the noise around him and minicamp and stuff. He's going to be fine long term, and I think he'll help this team at some point this year too, like in some form or fashion. Heck, week one, like in the red zone. But no.
Matt Nagy also said out loud that they were going to try to use Wiley more.
Yeah.
So, or not Wiley.
Noah Gray.
Yeah. Noah Gray more. Yeah. So, like, I got to see all that play out. Look, I hope you're right, and Travis Kelce's healthy the entire season, because maybe they'll just have another great tight end, similar to the way the Packers get quarterbacks. But
a great rookie season for Wiley. A great rookie season for Wiley would be like 3 or 4 touchdowns and, yeah, 350, like 400 yards.
I'd be thrilled. Yeah, as the third tight end, I'd be thrilled.
That's the thing. There's 4 tight ends on the roster. He's the third. So, and Travis Kelce still exists. So and when you have all these other weapons, he's way down the totem pole on targets. He's going to have to be, in my opinion, like a red zone guy.
Yes. I think they'll use him down there. I think he'll use him in a couple of roles. Again,
so the guy said he loves the pick. Oh, I like the pick too. It makes a lot of sense. I think eventually, like I think next year, we're maybe talking differently about his role. This year, if everybody's healthy, I think we have to be reasonable with what we expect Jared Wiley to do. That's not a shot at him at all. It's just there's a lot of weapons in this offense, and he's a rookie.
Yeah, it's what you would take and what you would lock in. And what I would lock in is 250 yards and 3 scores. He's the third tight end, and he's the what option on offense. This is what we always talk about. What option?
Boy,
behind Kelce. He's behind Hollywood. He's behind Xavier Worthy.
Rashee
Rice. He's behind McColl. He's behind Justin Watson.
I mean, he might be behind Juju Smith-Schuster.
He's like, behind Samaje Perine, maybe, or Pacheco, or Juju.
He's like the ninth.
Like, I mean, he might be the ninth guy you target on offense. And if it is the ninth guy you target on offense, unless he is this special kind of player, you are saying he might be that kind of special kind of player, well, then there's just a limitation for what he can show you in year one, which is what we talk about all the time with reasonable expectations. We talked about this last year with FAU on a deep defensive line in which he wasn't going to crack through easily. It was going to be harder. This year, you and I, Golder, are going to expect more from Felix Anudike-Uzomah because there's less competition at that position than he's had the previous couple of years. Wiley can have all the heat put on him if Travis Kelce retires in 3 years. They can have all the heat put on him he wants in the world. But yeah, it's just not. It's not quite as likely the other way.
Yeah, I was going to say Mahomes throws for 9,000 yards, and then everybody can have 1,000, and everybody's
9,
happy.
9,000.
Problem just solved. 9,
right? That's how this is going to work out.
If every defense laid over, yeah.
tomorrow, Tomorrow we're going to be out at Rally House in Overland Park. Rally House, the Oak Park location. Getting set for Chiefs season. Get your gear ready to go for Thursday night. So stop on by Rally House. I think we'll have some stuff to give away as well. Looking forward to that. And tonight, if you're heading out to Kauffman Stadium, say hello. I'm getting there like at 4:40, Cody.
You're getting there the second it opens?
First time in Crown Club. I'm very excited. Very, very excited about this.
I don't know if I'll be there at 4:40, but I'll be there in the early end. Don't worry about that.
I'll see you there. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.